You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Hi, and welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. I'm Andrew Berkshire, here with my co-host, Mary Clark. We are brought to you today by Locked On NHL Podcast. You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything that happens in the league. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories around the game and recaps of the games that happen each day. Subscribe to the Locked On NHL podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we've got a great show for you today. Make sure you hit us up and follow us on Twitter at Andrew Berkshire, at Mary C. Clark, and at Crosscheck NHL. But we're going to talk about three of the four series, essentially. The only one that we're not going to touch on a lot is the Bruins Islanders series. It's been good, but I think the other ones have better stories right now. And we're going to start with Montreal and Winnipeg. Then we're going to hit on Lightning facing off against the Hurricanes. And finish up with the surprising change of pace that's happened in the Colorado Avalanche and Vegas Golden Knights series. But before we get into all that, Mary, how was your weekend? I heard you worked all of it.
I worked some of it. I mean, I have a job that's nights and weekends, so I'm kind of used to it by now. So I worked. I mean, we're at the time of year where a lot of sports are happening, between, you know, playoffs, basketball, baseball, golf. I mean, gymnastics and, like, you know, the lead up to the Olympics later this summer. While I worked, I did have a very nice time, you know, sitting outside enjoying the weather. I mean, it's hot here in Pennsylvania, but we finally got to use the pool that's in my parents' backyard. So that is a nice, refreshing change of pace, and just relax during the day and then worked at night. So I can't complain.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun outside. It was a pretty hot weekend, so we spent some time at the water parks and
Oh, nice.
Running around. I bought a couple of, like, those cheap little water pistols, and so Dylan was super excited about that. I posted a video yesterday of him coming at me about to shoot me, and I pulled one out and just started, like, it looked like a first-person shooter, so I just posted it on Twitter with the caption FPS, and I just, like, blasted him, and he started running away, and I was like, that's right.
You gotta teach him young. Yeah, you gotta teach him.
Yeah, so we had lots of fun doing that, and lots of good hockey to watch on the weekend. So that was fun. And then I guess we'll touch on it a little bit in the in our last segment. But I watched most of that Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather sparring match, which was just I said it on Twitter, but like the real people who took an L on that one are anybody who paid for it.
Yeah, I did not watch it. I do not. That type of stuff, MMA stuff, really isn't my thing. I was paying attention to it a little bit just based on the fact that I was working last night, but I logged off and, like, I logged off at 11 p.m. Eastern, and I was like, all right, well, if there's anything from that fight that I did not watch, it can be put up in the morning. So, like, everybody else took care of it in the morning, but I was focused on other things, so I didn't watch it. But there were so many things happening online last night on Twitter, like, at the same time, like, with, you know, the hockey game, there was baseball stuff and gymnastics, and so it was wild.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of stuff in the last couple of days about the things that Simone Biles is pulling off right now, and it's like, this, she is incredible.
She's the GOAT. She's absolutely, I say this, like, full stop. She is the greatest athlete we're witnessing right now. Yeah, right. Like, incredible stuff. So very excited to watch the Olympics later this year.
Yeah. I mean, they may as well. I mean, we want to see her perform, obviously, but just give her the gold.
Yeah. She's too good.
She can perform with the gold medal weighing her down and she'll still win.
Yeah. I think she'll still be able to complete those incredible flips she does.
I saw there was one video that was going around that was in slow motion, like super slow motion. And it's like, how can this tiny human do jumps this tall?
And, like, she was, like, tweeting so on the like, obviously not while she was doing her routines, but while she was, like, on the, like, on the floor, she had her phone out and was, like, tweeting Allie Reisman, I think, is that what her name was?
Yeah,
they were tweeting at each other. I thought, she's great. I love her. Very excited to see her in the Olympics. So glad that she's doing the thing she's doing. It's been incredible stuff to watch.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So the Canadians have shocked a lot of people once again. They've now won six straight games in the postseason. I gotta say, like, they've been going around because Sportsnet had, like, all of their experts weigh in the Leaf series, and, like, literally every single person picked the Leafs, as they should have, and Habs fans were, like, tossing around the screenshot of, like, all these experts picking the Leafs and, like, crossing them off as the series would go past that section of, like, in four or five or six, and they're doing it now with the ESPN panel, I guess, where almost I think everyone except for John Busagros took the Jets. And I understand the Jets swept the Oilers and everything, but as much as people were like shocked by what the Canadians did to the Leafs, people know the Jets aren't very good, right? Like that series was a way bigger shock than the Canadians beating the Leafs. Like, not because the Oilers are amazing, but the Jets are like not really a playoff team. They have elite shooting and elite goaltending, and everything in their structure is a gigantic mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a surprise that the Canadians are up 3-0 and that the Jets have looked so utterly dominated in this series, but...
And may I just say, by the time you guys hear this on Tuesday, the series might be over. Like, there is a game Monday night, so I still think that everything we say now is applicable regardless of whether the Jets win Monday night's game and make this a series still, or if, you know, the Canadians sweep. I still think everything we say is relevant, but just letting you know that... When the result is known and if the series is over, it is what it is at this point. But you make a good point though about, you know, people picking the Jets. I mean, I fell into that trap too. I was kind of, you know, entranced by, you know, Connor Hellebuyck and the way they were able to shut down Connor McDavid and, you know, Leon Draisaitl and all that. But we know that I take L's all the time in predictions here, so this isn't anything new for me. But it is so funny that Montreal is very likely going to be the representative of the North Division this year. And I remember a bunch of people talking up about how Montreal or how the North Division was the strongest in the NHL. And I'm like,
who said that?
I don't know, Andrew. I don't know. A lot of Canadians were like, I think this is the strongest division in the NHL, guys. I mean, to be fair, I don't think I saw that once. I did. I saw that a couple times where people were questioning whether it was the strongest division in the NHL. And I was like, I think everybody, like, if your favorite team is in a specific division, I think you're going to be like, oh, my team's division is the hardest because of X, Y, and Z. Because you're the only one who's like, there's no, like, interdivision play. So you're just playing your own teams. But... I don't know. It is so funny to me that is the likely path we are heading down because I did not expect it. I still don't think the Canadians, if they get out of this round, which it's very likely they are, I still don't know how they will match up against, you know, the Colorados or the Vegases of the next rounds. I just, they've surprised me for sure, and Carey Price is being Carey Price, but like, how long can this go on, Andrew?
It's a good question.
Like, Are they actually good right now and playing really well? Or is it like everybody else is just bad and they're kind of beating up on bad quote-unquote teams in the playoffs at least?
Well, I mean, Toronto's not bad.
I just meant like they played bad.
They played bad in Game 7, but that was really the only game in the entire series that they played poorly. And I think that comes down to like the mental toughness aspect, right? Like... Mm-hmm. They don't believe that they can win. And I think that's one of those things that I think the Canadians in general kind of get made fun of because, like, Brendan Gallagher, Shea Weber, they've said things in past seasons where, like, even last year against the Penguins where they're like, we believe we can win, and people kind of laughed it off. And, like, that belief factor, it matters. And I think when push comes to shove in those tight situations, when you absolutely believe that you can do it and you can hunker down and make that extra play, it does change things. And the Canadians for the first four games against Toronto were utterly bested. Like a lucky goal in game one kept them from being swept. But since then they are a different team. And I think that if you look back at how this season played out for the Canadians, especially at the start, like this was a very, very strong team. And you look at the roster and they don't have star players. Although Carey Price right now is playing like a star. They have a very deep roster, especially at forward, of a lot of players who can contribute. And on defense, you know, their top four, I think, is playing exceptionally well above their heads at the moment. But their defense is not that strong. And that's where, like, team defense comes into it, right? Like, Phil Deneau has sacrificed everything in his game to play full-on defense. It's the kind of thing that Thomas Plekanec used to do when he was in his prime. Like, people would make or get upset because his playoff production was not very good, but then he'd match up against like Sidney Crosby and Crosby get like 1 point in a 7-game series, you know, like that kind of ability to just focus down an opponent's top player it really changes things in the playoffs. And when you have the depth to score when that player is no longer on the ice and your defensive players are resting, then yeah, they're legit in that way. How legit are they compared to Vegas or Colorado? I don't think they're going to be able to beat either of those teams. Like, it's just, it would be very, very shocking, much more shocking than beating Toronto. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things can happen in a playoff series. And
I just, it feels so, like, it's really funny because at the beginning of the season, I think I had picked Montreal as maybe the second best team in the North Division in the preseason. Because I was high on their playoff performance last year and, you know, the, like, structure they showed, like, the team structure they showed and, you know, how tenacious they were and, you know, getting the puck and, like, keeping puck away, like, you know, winning those board battles and stuff. Like, I was very into them. But then over the course of the regular season, I mean, we talked about, like, their trade deadline moves. I mean, they got Eric Gustafson from the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, wasn't
inspiring. How is a defense with Eric Gustafson doing so well? I saw him on the Flyers.
He's playing about 6 minutes a game.
Maybe that's the difference here. Philadelphia, you're on thin ice right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny because it's one of those situations where if you don't watch the games and you look solely at the numbers, you're going to make fools of a lot of people. Because right now, I was looking at the series so far because Natural Stat Trick has like a series breakdown that you can look at. And Eric Gustafson, I believe, is leading all of the Canadians with like an 80% expected goals for against the Jets.
I mean,
and
it's, he's like, good at offense.
But the thing is, here's the thing. He's got the most cushy job possible, right? Like, he's playing power play and then out against the opposing team's fourth line with, like, you know, the top line of the Canadians all the time. And then he plays like 6 minutes. So they're sheltering him to such a degree.
I know, but even on the power play, even on the power play, he was known to make mistakes defensively for the Flyers.
Oh, yeah, he single-handedly caused a shorthanded goal.
Yeah, like, I'm so surprised it hasn't happened more often because it felt like every time the Flyers were on a power play with him on it, it was just a defensive breakdown, like, you know, breakaway to the other side and a shorthanded goal against. Like, I have so many flashbacks of that happening with the Flyers this past season. It's just remarkable to me that they have been able to protect him so much and use him in limited minutes that he has been able to thrive. And the one thing he does best is, which is generating offense. It's just, I just can't wrap my head around the fact that, you know, a team with Eric Gustafson on it is succeeding in, like, also being good defensively. But you're right in that he is being used in a way that plays to his strengths of the way the Flyers were never able to accomplish.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think, like, I think a smarter, like, you look at the decision-making, and we talked about the deadline before and how neither of us were enamored with the moves that the Canadians made, and they started the playoffs with Cole Caulfield in the stands, Jesperi Kotkaniemi on the stands. Like, and it's like, you see them kind of succeeding in spite of their own decision-making,
yes,
but it does
exactly seem
like the decision-making has gotten better as the playoffs have gone on. The coaching has gotten a little bit better. The players have definitely bought into a specific style of play, although they're still beholden to the hockey thing of, like, well, we won, so we can't change the lineup, right? And so, like, Eric Gustafson, despite bringing almost nothing to the table overall, is still in the lineup because he was in the lineup when they won, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's funny. And you wonder if things go badly for the Canadians at any point, do they just crumble? Because that's the other thing. They've scored first in six straight games. They're a team that's very good when they score first. They're not very good at playing from behind. They haven't had to. So if Carey Price makes a mistake early in a game, is that, like, are they going to mentally be able to recover from that and get back in the game? I think it's a fair question. And, I mean, they're not going to be able to hold Vegas or Colorado to this level of scoring. The Jets just aren't that good. But what they're doing against the Jets, I mean, it is legit. I mean, the Jets aren't a great even strength team, but overall, you look at, even despite playing with the lead all the time and the score effects favoring the Jets and, like, the shots are essentially even, you look at the high danger scoring chances or, like, expected goals, and it's heavily lopsided in Montreal's favor, and I think, like, that's due to them earning it. Yeah. But, we should probably wrap up on that series, though, right?
Yeah, I think, though, that you made a good point in that, like, to me, it feels like they're being, like, they made bad decisions, and they're now being bailed out by making the correct decision, but they should have been making the correct decision the whole time. And,
yes,
like,
well,
for
and
some
Carey
teams,
Price kept them in it
this is
while
true,
they
but
were doing that, right?
For some teams, that would have sunk them, making the incorrect decisions like that. Like, you know, not putting, you know, Cole Caulfield out on the ice in game one should have happened. Not, you know, putting in, like moving around their defense to, you know, use Eric Gustafson correctly and, like, those other, like, moves and stuff. Like, They should have been punished for that, but they haven't. They were somehow able to survive, and a lot of that is based on Carey Price. But, I mean, good luck to the Jets. I mean, we'll, by the time you hear this, we'll know the result. But I think the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway for me is that the Jets have only had 4 goals in the first 3 games of the series. Like, their offense has died out when they needed it most. I mean, some of that, you know, Mark Scheifele was suspended. And
he took himself out of it, right?
He took himself out of it, and that's, like, a huge part of it. But I know people like me were calling for a series suspension for Mark Scheifele, and he may have gotten himself a series suspension, depending on the way this goes.
Yeah, that's also the Canadiens taking advantage of that. I think they need to close it out before he comes back, just to make sure that nothing goes crazy, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you are a Canadiens fan and you want to bask in the happiness that fan base is, like, experiencing right now, check out Locked On Canadiens with Laura Saba and Scott Matla, two of my friends who I used to work with over at Habs Eyes and the Prize. And if you want to figure out what's gone wrong with the Jets, check out Locked On Jets with Harrison Lee. Up next, we're going to talk about the Lightning and the Hurricanes and how that series is going, where the Hurricanes can go from here, and more right after a word from our sponsors. Decades of data shows that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market each and every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. With Wealthfront, you can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Have you got a little nest egg from working from home over the last year and a half? Well, make that money work for you. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $5,000 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do all the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free, for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. Thinking about going on a road trip now that lockdown restrictions are easing? Well, I live in Quebec and the borders are starting to open. My parents are driving across the country from Alberta soon to go camping with us. And if you want to drive across country, you better make sure that your car has been serviced, is in tip-top shape, and get all the parts that need to be replaced. And if you're looking for car parts, you better check out rockauto.com. Why waste your time going to a storefront and dealing with a counterman who has to order in your parts, and you have very little selection? Maybe you're picking between two different manufacturers for one part, and that's it. When you could go to rockauto.com and deal with, you know, your own unique search function here and get comparisons from all kinds of manufacturers and save way more money than you ever would at a storefront. You could save 30 to 50%, maybe even more. The nice thing about rockauto.com is that they're charging the exact same to do-it-yourselfers and professional mechanics. You're not paying some big markup just because you don't know the right people. RockAuto.com is also a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps and motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us section so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. All right, so we're back. The Lightning are up 3-1 on the Hurricanes. I think that most people watching this or looking forward to this series expected it to be a little bit closer. It seems like every single time that the Canes generate some momentum, the Lightning just score their way out of it. And the last game between them was that in dramatic fashion. I believe the Hurricanes were up 4-1.
I think 4-2. They had a 2-goal lead.
Okay, so it was 4-2, and then Tampa rattles off 4 straight goals, mm-hmm. 3 straight to end the second period, mm-hmm. including a Stamkos power play goal with under a minute remaining, and then the third starts, and you're like, okay, maybe the Hurricanes can recover a little bit. And Kucherov's like, no.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It was a really fun game. I was watching that while I was working, and I had to, you know, dip for a hot second to get dinner and stuff like that. And as soon as I left for dinner, goals started piling up, and I went downstairs and was like, I'm turning on the TV right now to finish watching this period because it was so fun. Yeah. I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning just seemed to have an answer for every problem that comes their way. I mean, even when Andrei Vasilevsky gives up a bad goal or two, the offense is just like, all right, we're carrying you on our backs. It's time to go. And Steven Stamkos scored two power play goals in that game. And Kucherov had two even strength goals. And then I think one on the power play. That was a part of that, you know, flurry of goals at the end of the second period. But that was a really fun game. That was one of those games that's like, yes, this is why we love playoff hockey. Goals are being scored. Mistakes are being made. Goalies are being bad, but we love it. And I know that was probably a heart attack if you were a Canes fan or a Lightning fan, but it was very fun to watch live. And it was very reminiscent to me of the first game the Lightning played against the Panthers when it was just kind of an all-out, you know, free-for-all in terms of, like, goals and, you know, mistakes being made and stuff like that. So it was very nice to see, and it was definitely one of the best games of the playoffs for me just because of that second period was so wild.
Yeah, you gotta love it when things just go completely out of control in terms of the goal scoring, right? And
yeah,
it looks like one team's completely taking over, and then it's like, nope, the other team's got something to say about that. It's the Lightning are such a fascinating team to watch, and I think this is kind of the last ride in a lot of ways, because even if, you know, Nikita Kucherov injures himself lifting the Stanley Cup this year and has to miss all of next season, I don't think they're going to get away with that kind of shenanigans again. And I know that the injury to Kucherov was legit, and we talked to Mike Johnson about it, and he mentioned that, like, when he had a similar surgery, it kept him out for the exact same time frame, so it wasn't as shady as it looked. The timing of it was just perfection for the Lightning. And I think my take, talk about cold takes that didn't work out for us before the playoffs. My take that Kucherov would be a little bit rusty. I think he was rusty at even strength for one game, and now he's just been unbelievable.
Yeah. Andrew, I don't know why you had that take, because he was practicing. I mean, I know it's not game practice, but, like, he was practicing for a very long time. He was not rusty. I mean, yeah, he was probably rusty in terms of just, you know, getting back into the flow of the game, but the dude was ready to come back for a while. So I remember that take, and I'm like, I think you're going to regret that. And hey, look at where we are now.
17 points in 10 games for Nikita Kucherov in the playoffs.
It really is like last year when they just, you know, Kucherov put everybody on his back and was like, all right, we're doing this. Or I'm going to score all the goals, have all the points. We're going to the Stanley Cup final again, and there's nothing opponents can do about it. He's just too good. And I mean, since he's rested, I don't see how you stop him unless you have an incredible goalie that, you know, can make those saves. But I mean, switching back to Carolina here, because I mean, we talk so much about the Lightning, but their goaltending, they have a bit of a problem. I mean, I kind of figured that this might be the case for the Hurricanes, because they're very good defensively. Like, they have a great structure and great players that, you know, play around, you know, possessing the puck and all of that. But, like, what do you do if your goaltending can't give you a save? And, you know, they had Alex Nedeljkovic in goal, and then they put Peter Mrazek in goal. And I'm, again, very familiar with Peter Mrazek from his time with the Flyers. And you don't want to rely on him in a higher pressure situation, I can tell you that much. And I think that the Hurricanes have found that out. And I'm just surprised that, you know, going back to, like, the preseason, that they went with the goalies they have gone with, and they did not try and get, you know, a better starter for them, because their goaltending there's a lot of questions, and it's one of the reasons why that they are down 3-1 in the series right now.
Yeah, and I think this has kind of been the issue for Carolina for a few years now, is in terms of, like, player evaluation, they're very, very good until it comes to goaltending.
Yeah.
You know, like, they bit hard on Scott Darling after he had that big year, and that didn't work out. They kept Cam Ward around for forever, and I know we're talking, like, multiple administrations here, but Carolina definitely does have an issue with evaluating goaltending, and I think...
Which is strange, because I know I'm familiar with Eric Tolsky, who's one of their stats guys there, because he was part of Broad Street Hockey back in the day when I was working with them, so I'm just familiar with him. He's a smart dude. I'm just surprised that, like, smart. Yeah, I'm just surprised that, like, for a Hurricanes team that is incredible with the analytics and is incredible crafting a team around that style of hockey, that they have not decided to get a better goaltender to fit that style of hockey. Because, like, defense can only do so much. Like, if your goaltender's letting in saves, you shouldn't. It doesn't matter how well your defense is playing. You can't really come back from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other question surrounding Carolina is that, you know, despite the fact that they dominate a lot of the numbers in the regular season and, you know, they pile up shots like crazy. They have for years now. Mm-hmm. One of the continuing issues that they've dealt with, and like from the naysayers, is that they pile up a lot of low quality shots. And like maybe by the end of a game, their expected goals is very high, but a lot of it is just piling on middle distance or far distance shots, or like low quality chances generated by, you know, forechecking or shooting from distance and looking for a rebound. And if you have a team that has 20 shots, but five of them are like high quality, and a team that has 40 shots and none of them are high quality, despite the fact that the team that got 40 shots probably has a higher expected goals, the team that got 20 shots is probably going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the way it goes in hockey. The quality does matter, especially in the playoffs. And you look at how this series has gone, and Carolina's controlled 52% of the shot attempts, 52% of the shots, and then it flips to Tampa Bay, 50% or 51% of the expected goals. But then you go all the way down to high danger chances, and Tampa controls 58.5%.
Ooh. Yeah. And so it's really close, yeah. But then, you know, high danger chances, and then it seems goaltending a little bit has made this series slip away from Carolina a bit, which is wild to think of.
Things even out a little bit when you bring in special teams, but you can't really rely on special teams to fix things in the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? Like, a great power play is good, a great penalty kill is good, but you've got to get it done at even strength. And I just wonder,
because you can't rely on, you know, getting power plays at opportune times.
Exactly. So. And I wonder if, because Tampa Bay can score at a higher clip than the Carolina Hurricanes can, and the fact that they can, you know, keep the Hurricanes from completely dominating territorially, I just don't know if Carolina can overcome that. And down 3-1, it's late in the game to say, like, oh, I doubt the Carolina Hurricanes can win this. But you look at the way Tampa Bay is able to roll things out, and they're just going to be such a tough out for anyone. It's hard to predict anyone is going to be able to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I had, coming into the playoffs, when we were, you know, the NHL was creating their bracket challenge, I'm pretty sure I put Carolina over the Lightning here, because I believed a little bit more in their ability to control the play of games. But with the way the Lightning are playing right now, it is just too overwhelming for Carolina to stop, and they're just, you know, coming at them in waves. But that's the way this Lightning team is constructed. And like you said before, it is probably the last ride for some of that type of stuff, because I looked up on Cap Friendly while we were talking earlier, but Blake Coleman and Barkley Goudreau are both going to be UFAs and like this upcoming season, and they're probably going to command a little bit more money, I would think, just based on, you know, how well they've done for Tampa Bay over the last couple of years since they got them. So,
well, and how about, you know, not this coming year, but next year, Braden Point, whose contract is a joke, $6.75 million, he's an RFA again in 2022. He's going to be getting like $10 million. I don't care if it's a flat cap. Like, he is just an incredible player, incredible clutch player. It's going to be very tough for the Tampa Bay Lightning to keep this band together past
even with, you know, the cap wizardry they're able to do. Or some people say cap circumvention, but they are incredibly smart to have been able to do what they have done in the way that the NHL has constructed this cap. So, I mean, like we've talked about, good for them for doing that. It's just going to be very hard to do so with, you know, guys like that eventually going to have to come to new contracts. You can only do so much, I think. But
yeah,
I don't think that, you know, if they win a Stanley Cup in back-to-back years, I think they'll be like, all right, we did a good job. We did our
job. Absolutely. I mean, winning one is tough enough, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, even if they get to the final, I don't think you could ever look at how this is going to break apart for Tampa Bay and say that they did something wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that the biggest fault that they have is having too many elite players. You know?
Don't we all wish our favorite teams had that problem?
Yes, exactly. Unless you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and then grumble, you can't make it out of the first round. Yeah. All right, so if you want to check out more about the Lightning, check out Locked On Lightning with Adam Danker. And if you want to hear more about the Hurricanes, check out Locked On Hurricanes with Jared Ellis. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Colorado Avalanche. Are they in trouble, Mary? I think they might be in a little bit of trouble. But first, we're going to talk about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKED ON. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, or pomegranate. So it's got your mint lovers, you've got your spicy, you've got your sweet, it's got something for everyone. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. And it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere. You can't smoke in very many places anymore. Things have changed. When I was growing up, you could smoke in restaurants, even on planes. But that all changed around the time that I graduated high school, actually, in Canada. I don't know how it was for you, Mary. On flights and at work, you can chew this gum. You can eat these lozenges on the go, even in the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes. Unplug your vape. Throw out your dip and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, people. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can spend your pre-tax dollars on them. Locked On NHL Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use your promo code LOCKEDONNHL to get 20% off all products on your first order. 20%, including gum and lozenges. That's lucy.co. Use promo code LOCKEDONNHL at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. This is not something for somebody who just wants a fun gum to chew. It's used to transition away from cigarettes and dip and all other nicotine things that are much worse for you than gum. Go to lucy.co and use that promo code LOCKEDONNHL. All right, so the Colorado Avalanche started this series against the Vegas Golden Knights, Mary, in dramatic fashion. And after watching game one, I think literally everyone that I know was like, good luck stopping this team. They're going to roll right to the Stanley Cup. It's not even going to be a competition. But despite winning game two in overtime, the last time the Colorado Avalanche looked not just in control, but good at all was game one.
Yeah.
The Vegas Golden Knights have taken it to them.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of surprising, but I guess maybe kind of a little bit expected considering, you know, the Avalanche had won, what, 6 straight to start their playoff run. So I guess a little bit of regression was probably expected from them. But, oh boy, this series has swung in the complete opposite direction in the manner of just a couple of games. And I think the Avalanche might be in a little bit of trouble unless they can figure out some of the problems that are plaguing them right now, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, number one, Vegas has taken away their speed completely. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not attacking off the rush at all anymore. McKinnon has just been, for lack of a better word, silenced.
Or invisible, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's just been shut down to a ridiculous degree. I've never seen it in the playoffs. And, you know, it hasn't been that they've been dirty either. Not that Vegas isn't a dirty team. They've got their fair share of it. You know, Ryan Reeves is finished his suspension for a ridiculous play that he should have been out for the whole series for. But I haven't seen any answers from Colorado so far. And after game three, Jared Bednar kind of threw the gauntlet down and said, like, this team has to be better. We have to try harder. Things aren't working in our favor. It was like the very, like, it's it, the answers in the room speech. Mm-hmm. And game four was yet another awful performance by them, I guess. Like, you have to give credit to Vegas. The Vegas team, the Golden Knights, look so much better with Max Pacioretty back in the lineup. Like, the amount of extra danger that they're able to add to their offense is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I it really does change things like that. And while you were talking, I was listening, but also looking up when Nazem Kadri comes back for...
That's right. He's got two games left, I think, right?
Yeah. I was trying to figure that out because there's no real concrete answer because, he got suspended when, the series was still ongoing, so there's no, straight answer. But I think it is two games left. So I was trying to look up when he could come back, and that might be, a boost for Colorado, but it might come a bit too late depending on how games shake out. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that, getting Pat Cherney back for Vegas just has revitalized their lineup, and it has been very fun to watch. But it is scary if you're an Avalanche fan, because you haven't seen your team like this, I think, for a long time. Like, the Avalanche are used to getting their way just from, play driving, speed, goals. Like, they're used to, running teams down, out shooting them, out scoring them. But now they can't do that. Vegas has figured them out, and, they're controlling nearly 60% of the shot attempts and nearly 68% of the scoring chances at 5-on-5. You don't see that from this Colorado team to be dominated in the way that they have been, or at least you haven't seen it in some time. And credit to Vegas for doing all of that and making the adjustments necessary and pulling on the weaknesses of this Avalanche team, because there were some. Like, we've seen it in the past, but it's just the stark change between these two teams is, from the first game of the series, is night and day. You would not have expected this to happen, after watching game one. I don't think many people have. So
no, I mean, Vegas looked completely railroaded in that first game.
And yeah, because that's what the Avalanche team can do.
They did kind of rally towards the end of the game, but how much of that was score effects, And the Avalanche, I wonder if this is one of those situations where they just had too easy of a first round and some of their, the details slipped a little bit because they were able to get away with things. And Vegas, who went through a war against the Minnesota Wild, they had that first game that, for whatever reason, they basically spotted them a 1-0 series lead by starting a rusty Robin Lehner.
Yeah, I mean, part of that might have had to do with, the fact that Vegas went to Game 7 and then the series started, right after. So Colorado was a little bit fresher, while Vegas was probably a little bit, still trying to get their legs under them after such a, they had to play in a Game 7. And even though it was against the Wild put up a much better fight and were a very good team and were able to take Vegas that far. So that's probably a bit why that they were they dropped that Game 1, is because, exhaustion may have had a little bit to do with it. But since then, I mean, they've just taken it to Colorado. And I don't know. I mean, Colorado needs to shore things up for sure. They need to get MacKinnon going again. I mean, we've seen him. He has the ability to do it. So they need to find a way to get him to get back on track. I mean, now that the series swings back to Colorado, they'll have the line change advantage. So maybe there is where you can start putting in the pressure.
Yeah, but, and they still have home ice advantage for the series, which
helps. So if it goes seven games, the two games will be in Colorado, one game will only be in Vegas. So that there is still, opportunities for them to make those moves.
Yeah, and if you look at where Colorado has really struggled, I think the Patrick Nemeth Ryan Graves pairing has really, really been torn asunder by Vegas. They need to focus on that. The top of the Avalanche lineup is actually still not so bad, but it's just not to the point of domination that you would expect. And, it's getting worse as the series wears on, which is just bad news for them. They've got to get something out of it. But it's an interesting series. I think it's probably the best series in terms of quality of teams that we'll see in these playoffs. These are the two teams that probably should be battling in the Stanley Cup Finals, but we have divisional playoffs, so only one of them can make it through.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup pick for me is still Colorado, but whoever makes it through this series is my new pick.
I am hopeful that, Colorado will battle back and make it closer, because I don't want to see this series end, with Vegas winning, four straight or whatever it is, and, putting it to Colorado. I want to see this get closer. I'd love to see a Game 7 here, and my pick is still Colorado, because I still think that they have the, potential to get back to maybe not completely dominating Vegas, but dominating them enough that they, went out in this series. But they're definitely in a little bit of trouble. They need to figure out, how to stop their defense from giving up, incredible chances for, Vegas, and they're no slouches either on offense. So I would like to see them change up a little bit, just, you know, to match what Vegas has, you know, already done in terms of, you know, making moves and making adjustments.
Yeah, they have to find something within themselves and bring the same level of intensity that Vegas is bringing. I wonder if this is one of those situations where Vegas has almost tasted Stanley Cup victory mm-hmm. in their first year, and they've had a couple of really rough ways of going out in the last couple of years where they probably felt like they deserved better, mm-hmm. and this year they're just all in, and you can tell. You can tell every shift right now, you can tell that they want to win this, and the Colorado Avalanche just haven't had an answer yet. But mm-hmm. if you want to hear more about the Golden Knights, check out Locked On Golden Knights with Carlo Gonzalez. And if you want to hear more about the Avalanche, check out Locked On Avalanche with Christopher Micelli. Coming up next, we're going to do our pop culture roulette. We're going to touch on the whole Floyd Mayweather, Paul brother garbage. Mary's got an update on her attempt at all-nighter, and I'm going to quiz Mary on a couple of Canadian words and see if she can figure out what they are. But first, a word from our sponsor, Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar ever. Why would you eat some other protein bar when you can have a delicious Built Bar? Built Bar, soft, easy to chew, covered in chocolate. They've got 9 delicious flavors for you to choose from. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. There's something for everyone at Built Bar. Know what my favorite flavor is? I'm going to think mint brownie because I always love mint. I love mint and chocolate. It is definitely a vice for me. Anything mint chocolate, I want to try it. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. That's a pretty handy thing if you're a very open person and like all kinds of different things. You can get some of everything. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Between 17 and 18 grams of protein and 130 and 180 calories in each Built Bar, and a maximum of just 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. That's not much. You know, you're getting all the good stuff, none of the bad stuff. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you got 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So, Mary, you pulled an all-nighter, or did you make it through?
Yeah, I did. I guess technically I didn't pull an all-nighter because I did go to sleep at the end of it for a few hours. But yes, I lasted through the Critical Role finale that ended at right before 5 a.m., and then I stayed awake to watch the Fusion game, and they won, and that, I think, that took to, like, 7 a.m., or, like, I, you know, was finished doing whatever, and, you know, I lied back in my bed, because I went over to, like, my couch or whatever for, you know, the Fusion game, just so I was, like, just trying to stay awake a little bit more, but I, like, lay back in bed, and I'm, like, I can go to sleep for a little bit. I earned this. So I went to bed for, like, about 3 hours, but I was definitely feeling the effects of, you know, only getting, like, a 3-hour like nap really, but I did successfully stay up through all of that, and now I finally feel, you know, more rested after taking consecutive nights of like lots of sleep. I went to bed during I think game 3 of the Colorado Vegas series, like, well, it was like it was before midnight. No, I went to bed and was like, it's fine, I'll check the score in the morning, because I was super tired and wanted to, you know, get back resting. But yeah, I was able to pull an all-nighter. It was weird. I was still awake when the sun got when the sun came up at 5 a.m. and I was like, "Well, this is different. I do not like this," but I did it.
Yeah, when you start hearing the birds chirping and you're like, "Oh, what have I done?"
And that usually isn't the case for me. Usually, I have, you know, I stick to a like routine of like going to bed at, you know, certain hours. I mean, it's usually after midnight and stuff like that. But like, I usually do not stay up that late. And I usually am not, you know, hearing the birds chirping at 5 a.m. in the morning when the sun is starting to come up. But yeah, it was all good. I'm glad I made that decision and it ended up working out fine. My sleep schedule has thankfully, you know, not been shot too much, and I think I have made a recovery.
That's good. That's good. I mean, making a recovery that quick is good for pulling an all-nighter when you're not a teenager.
Yeah, and I guess you know, since we're talking more about pop culture, what I am looking forward to this week, I mean, Final Fantasy VII Remake is getting a DLC that comes out this week. And I'm very much looking forward to it because it also comes with, like, PlayStation 5 enhancements. And I have a PlayStation 5, so I'm going to be starting up a new Final Fantasy VII Remake playthrough once that drops, after playing through the DLC with, you know, Yuffie, one of the great characters of the cast of Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII Remake was my game of the year last year, so I'm very excited to, you know, revisit that, because I haven't replayed it since I finished it last year. But love the soundtrack, love the characters. It was a really great remake, because I did play the original Final Fantasy VII. It was only more recently, because one of my friends bullied me into it, and she was like, you should play this before the remake, because you never know what's going to be important. And I guess a lot of things are going to be important for the remake. So I'm looking forward to that this week, because it has been some time since I played it, and I'm looking forward to stepping back into that world, because it was very fun when I did it last year.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII is a great game. Mm-hmm. Overrated in my view. I haven't played the remake, but the original I felt was overrated, because it was the first Final Fantasy that went with, like, the heightened graphics.
I can see it being overrated a little bit, but I think that the cast and the interactions are part of the charm as to why that the
for sure
stood the test of time. And I definitely would recommend playing the remake whenever you can, because it is a lot of fun. I'm interested to see where things go, because they are changing the story a little bit. I don't know how much, but there are things that were added that are really interesting to me, because it's like, oh, we get to, you know, theorize about Final Fantasy VII stuff in, you know, 2020, 2021. Like, nobody thought that was going to happen. So I'm very excited, and I definitely recommend playing it if you're either new to the series or a original FF7 player and just want to see, you know, everybody look really good in, you know, full HD and, you know, all their, you know, glorious muscles that Cloud has. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
For sure. So the other thing that happened this weekend, which took up a lot of space on social media, was that Logan Paul guy fought Floyd Mayweather. And I don't know what people thought was going to happen. Floyd Mayweather is one of the most boring boxers in the history of the sport. He is also, like, technically essentially perfect defensively, but he doesn't knock people out, right? So Logan Paul was bigger than him. He barely landed a punch on Mayweather, who was, he didn't even sweat, I don't think, the whole eight rounds. But Logan Paul looked like he was high out of his gourd to start it, and then it wore off in the first round, and he just looked like he was barely alive, and it unfortunately didn't end in a knockout of one of the most obnoxious people in the world. But
I think they're both a little bit obnoxious.
Well, I mean, one of them's obnoxious and the other one's a wife beater. So really, there's no loser if one of them gets hurt.
This is one of those events where I was like, there's no winner here. There is no winner. Even if one of them wins, none of us win. So I was like,
all
why?
Of us lose.
Yes.
And the biggest losers are the people who paid for it.
That's
and
a good
I'm
point.
Glad it's over, and I hope it never happens again.
Who won?
Mayweather. Like, a lot, but it was
okay.
It was
good,
like, all
right.
Based on technicals,
I mean, not
right?
good, but like I feel like we wouldn't hear the end of it had Logan Paul won.
Yeah, I mean, Logan Paul. I think they said that he landed like 13% of his punches.
We talked about this in like before we started recording, but I am not an MMA person. I mean, power to you if you are, you know, an MMA, boxing, wrestling. I know that a lot of that coincides with hockey Twitter for some reason. I'm not sure why, but good on you for, you know,
hockey
enjoying
fights.
That type of stuff. I mean, maybe that. That's very possible, but it is not my jam. I see it happen and I'm like, okay, there are all these things happening and I don't understand, but good for you. If you enjoyed this, power to you, but I hope we don't see another one of these again. I think it's, you know, one of those obnoxious attention grabs.
Yes, it's
I
all
don't,
for money, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody wins here. I mean, unless you placed money on it, maybe you did win, but nobody wins. I don't win here. So what's the point of me trying to watch it if, you know, I don't get anything out of it?
Yeah, totally agree. So we went through this podcast pretty quick because I wanted to ask Mary some Canadian or put some Canadian terms out there for Mary to try to guess what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a couple queued up here and we'll see if Mary can figure out what they are or if she's ever heard them before.
Okay.
Here's one to start with, a garburator.
Is it like a trash compactor?
Close. But it is actually the same thing as a garbage disposal.
Oh, okay. So just like the thing in your sink?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That was close.
Bachelor apartment.
Is it like a studio apartment where it's like the bed, like it's all, there's no walls. It's just like the, you know, the kitchen is there and the bedroom is there. It's like a studio apartment where nothing is, like there's no walls separating the rooms.
100%. That's exactly what it is. Let's see, what else have we got here?
You really call it a bachelor apartment?
Yeah, that's what it's called. When there's no bedroom, it's a bachelor apartment up here.
I mean, I don't know why it's called a studio apartment, so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess because an artist could rent it. It's like a studio. It makes more sense than bachelor apartment, I guess, but just like if you're living alone.
Okay.
Lonely. Mm-hmm. An artist or a bachelor. Do you know what a keener is?
Keener. It almost sounds like an alcohol-related thing, just, you know, like you're going on a bender, but I don't think that's correct.
No, it's like the person who, if you're going to, like, a college class or whatever, like, sits in the front row, wants to be, like, right in there.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. So, like, a person who, like, a overzealous student who wants to learn and be the center of attention, almost like a teacher's pet kind of thing?
Yeah, like somebody who has their hand up for every question.
Yeah, kind of like a teacher's pet situation. All right.
Yeah. All right, last one. Do you know what a Mickey is?
It's not Mickey Mouse, I'm assuming.
No.
No idea. Let me just form a guess.
Okay.
Is it like a hickey?
That's the only
thing.
Okay. No.
That's the only
thing. It's actually very similar to what you thought a keener was. It's related to alcohol.
Okay.
You know the mid-size bottles of alcohol, but you know, like the little ones that you can get, 375 mm-hmm. ounce or 375 mils, 13-ounce ones.
Mm-hmm.
We call those Mickeys up here.
Oh, it's like the like cute little like cans and stuff, or like little bottles. That's adorable. I like that. I got one correct on the nose. I was close with the garbage one, so I'll take that as a win. I got one. I mean, I think that was probably, I guess, the easiest of the group, if I had to guess. But I'll take that as a win, at least for today. I don't know if you can come up with others. I said on Twitter, like when you had mentioned you wanted to do this, I should give you Pennsylvania words. I type them in the Zoom chat and have you try and pronounce them, because I think that there are some like Pennsylvania towns and stuff. So maybe later down the line, unless you want to continue doing this for a few more weeks just to torture me. But I think that would be fun.
Well, if I can find some good ones, I'll definitely bring them up. But definitely we'll do the Pennsylvania one and see how bad my pronunciation is, because I'm bad enough pronouncing things at the best of times.
Yeah, there are some wild ones in Pennsylvania.
I'm like oddly very good at like Russian hockey names, I guess, growing up with like Russian, Czech, Slovak.
No, I'm terrible.
But everything
else,
not so great. Mm-hmm. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks so much for listening, and we're excited to bring you the next episode. We're going to have a guest on. Can't tell you who it is yet. It's going to be a surprise. Before we let you go, we got to tell you about the Locked On Today podcast. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. That's all for us. See you next time.